You are listening to the Faith, Love, and Relationship Podcast with Melvin Davis. I want to thank you guys so much for giving me time to get out this second, the second part of this topic, which is titled Healed for Love. So thank you so much for your patience. Thanks so much for supporting me. If you have passed on my podcast, the Faith, Love, and Relationship Podcast onto your friends, thank you so much for sharing the word. I do sincerely pray that you are that you're getting something out of this. I do this from a place of sharing God's wisdom and being a healer, a help to the body of Christ, and also reaching those who haven't come to know the Lord, know Jesus as Lord and Savior. Before I go further, I want to pray. It's always my aim to keep my thoughts, my personal thoughts and opinions of out of what God wants to say through me, and also in reading His Word and sharing His Word. So I want to pray that I am led by God's Spirit. Jesus, thank you so much for being Lord and Savior over my life. Thank you so much for just being a good shepherd. Thank you for your Spirit of peace, your peace that surpasses all understanding. Thank you for your wisdom, your counsel that guides me on the path of righteousness and that keeps me off the path of destruction. I ask you, Lord, that you would just open the eyes and ears and hearts of those who are listening in this moment. That you would speak to their hearts and speak to their soul and speak to them in whichever way that you choose to. I pray that your presence will manifest, that your glory will be revealed. And that your love will, that those who are listening will encounter your love in a supernatural way. And it's in your name, Jesus, that I pray. Amen. So I'm dealing with the topic of being healed for love because I know that there are so many people out there who want to be married, who want to be loved and want to find that special person that God has for them so they can spend, you know, the rest of their life with and also to, you know, fellowship with the Lord together. I find out as I've become wiser and just over a course of time, that you start to pay attention to the things that you overlooked when you were younger. You start to pay attention to compatibility, conversation, someone who has the ability to listen, to engage you with questions and to take the attention off of them and to put it solely on you to learn more about who you are as a person, what you aspire to be, and your relationship with God, and to know about your cares, your wants, your needs, your fears, things that you struggle with, things, areas that you are weak in, as well as your strengths, your passions, the things that drive you to do what you love to do, the things that wakes you up in the morning every day to go after, pursue your dreams. Having someone that you can talk to is so important when it comes to choosing in pursuing someone and who you envision spending the rest of your life with. Looks are important and the attraction is important. Maybe it's not so much so important to others. We all have our personal preferences, and there's nothing wrong with having personal preferences. I know that God has placed different desires in our hearts that comes in different shapes and forms and complexions or what have you. And there's nothing wrong with desiring who you desire to be with. Just as long as God has placed those desires in your heart, you're not striving and longing for something that's not in His will. But at the end of the day, no matter what your personal preferences are, what you are attracted to, everyone desires to love and be loved. And in order to have a chance at that, healing plays a very important part, and receiving what you have been praying for and what you have been talking about with your family and friends, close ones for years. And I come to find out that people, their prayers aren't being answered. That God is, in fact, that the answer, the person is there, but God hasn't released that special someone, that special individual, because there are hurts and wounds in the heart. You know, you heard the saying that love is a choice. Love is a choice. It's something that you choose to love someone every day. I've mentioned in other episodes that love is more than a feeling. And if your definition of love is defined by feelings, you're not going to last in a relationship. Because those fuzzy feelings they're not going to always be there. And you have to decide to love someone when you don't feel those fuzzy and warm, sappy feelings. So love is a choice. But did you know that healing is also a choice? Healing is a heart decision. You have to decide in your heart that you wanna be healed, that whatever that's causing the ache in your heart, that's causing you to not wanna be loved, to not wanna receive love and be such a loving and kind and gentle and nurturing person, you have to decide that you want to be healed. And this is something that you must want for yourself and not for a relationship. Although this episode is titled Heal for Love, healing is something that you must want to have for yourself, that you want to experience for yourself, and not for a relationship. It's kind of like, it's similar to, you know, if you are wanting to have a godly relationship, right? You wanting a godly relationship has everything to do with you having a personal relationship with the Lord. And you can't enter a relationship with someone who has a relationship with God. And you're pursuing God because that you're pursuing God for that relationship. It's a little bit backwards, a little bit unwise to do, because you're going to start to feel like your pursuit of God is an obligation that you're trying to fulfill to coexist with someone. And that's not what love is about. That's not what it means to have a godly relationship. It's two people who are pursuing God in their personal lives and their daily walk, coming together to have a godly relationship. And of course, you know, you can have a positive impact and a positive influence on someone else's pursuit of God, whereas you're praying and interceding for that person, and you're kind of guiding them along the way. But in order for someone to be guided, they have to be willing to be led. And in being led, that means that they are taking the initiative to move the left and right foot forward with you, to pursue God the way that that you are pursuing Him. So when you decide in your heart that you want to heal, ask God to heal you. I think about like the scripture that I shared in part one. I think it was in John 5, chapter 6. And this is the man who was unable to walk and was at the gate of Beautiful. This is John chapter 5, verse 6. And Jesus asked this man, knowing that this man was there for 38 years, knowing that his condition was for 38 years, and at that very point, in that instance, Jesus asked him, do you want to be made well? Do you want to be made whole, depending on the translation that you're reading? And so when you decide in your heart that you want to be healed, the next course of action is to ask God to heal you. Because you can ask God to heal you, but in your heart, it's not something that you want for yourself. And God is listening to your heart more so than your words. And so Jesus asking this man if he wanted to be made well, it was a breaking point question that opened up the gates of heaven to invade that man's life. The kingdom of God came upon that man, and he got up and he was made well. He was made whole. And the question I was asking in part one is, do you want to be made whole? Do you want to be healed? This is a decision that you have to make in your heart. And healing is something that you must do although you may not get closure from the person that hurt you or ended the relationship. And I'm going to get a little bit into closure later on, but healing is a heart decision. Healing is something that you must want for yourself, and not for the sake of love of getting married and finding the person that God has for you. But healing is something that you should want to do for your own well-being, for your own health, for your own freedom and liberty in Jesus Christ. This is something that you want to want for yourself. And there's a scripture that I want to read because I like to have a foundational scripture for my messages. So you can go back and read it yourself and meditate on it. I want all of my messages to be scripturally based. So you know it's not coming from my own intellect or my own understanding. So this is a scripture that I want to share with you. And it's coming from Matthew 6, verse 14. And this is the Amplified Version. I like to switch back from the New King James Version to sometimes the NIV and then the Amplified Version. Sometimes the Amplified Version is necessary because what's in the brackets kind of flushes out what the scripture is saying. And this is the Amplified Version is a good tool, translation to use, because then you can just build upon what's being spelled out literally to you, build upon that understanding, so the Holy Spirit can then introduce more revelation to that scripture. Because what you read on the surface of the scripture is not the end and all. There are many depths and layers and truths and revelation in God's word. And that revelation comes by meditating on God's word and asking the Holy Spirit to teach you. I made a post about that this morning. So this is Matthew 6, verse 14, the Amplified Version. And this is the foundational scripture for this message. And I want you to listen closely. For if you forgive others their trespasses, and this is what's in brackets here, their reckless and willful sins, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. Let me read that again. For if you forgive others their trespasses, their reckless and willful sins, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, nurturing your hurt and anger with the result that it interferes with your relationship with God, then your Father will not forgive your trespasses. And this message is really couched in dealing with unforgiveness. So you can go back and read on your own time. Matthew 6, chapter 6, verse 14. And I read from the Amplified Version. I want you to go back and read it and ask the Holy Spirit just to teach you and to speak to you through it. We learned in this scripture here that if you don't forgive those who have hurt you, the Father's not going to forgive you. And a sign or indication that you don't want to forgive is that you don't want to talk about it. You don't want to have a dialogue about the underlying issue, the underlying wound and hurt, whatever it has caused you to be hardened heart, you know, to be hardened or callous hearted. Whatever it is, people find themselves not wanting to discuss or to deal with it or to confront what's eating away at them because it's uncomfortable. Pride and ego are two killers of not wanting to confront issues. And, you know, I mentioned before that, you know, there are some excerpts that I want to read from my novel, Heal for Love. If you haven't got a chance to read it, please do. And not because I wrote it and because I want you to buy it, but because there is a message in here. And there are many messages in this story. It's you know, I tell people all the time that Heal for Love is more than a love story. But one of the themes, messages that I drove in a story was it's about healing. It's about forgiveness. And there's an excerpt that I want to read from Heal for Love that it relates to not wanting to talk about certain issues. And the excerpt reads, while tough conversations were difficult to have, they were necessary for moving forward. Now, I know that this is easier. Talking about something that's difficult and challenging is easier said than done. Sometimes it does take time to build up the courage, the strength and the confidence and the boldness to be able to confront whomever that you need to confront to talk about what happened. But I want you to understand that the longer that you prolong, that you delay, that you put off of talking about what you need to release from your heart, it delays the blessings of God. It holds you back from moving forward in your destination and your purpose in Christ. So not only does not wanting to talk about it can affect your love life and who you are as a person, your personality, and the loving person that you are capable of being in Christ, but it also holds you back from your purpose, your destiny. That whatever God has called you to do, it's tied to your ability to be able to confront issues and to deal with turbulent, difficult times. And not wanting to talk about it because there is pride and ego there. You know, scripture says pride, you know, comes before the destruction. You know, pride comes before the fall. Pride is not a fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's a fruit of Satan's spirit. And not far from pride, there is ego. And you have to be able to walk in humility to have difficult conversations. You must have those tough conversations. And I'm speaking from experience where I took the initiative to confront someone about an issue and to talk about it, to talk things out. So there, you know, there can be some accountability. There can be some type of an apology, something to just to get things out in the open, in the air, to release whatever it is that you need to let go of that's in your heart. And, you know, there's a quote that I want to read that I posted on my social media platforms maybe about 30 minutes ago. And this quote actually came today, so I just thank the Holy Spirit for dropping that wisdom in my heart, in my spirit, before recording this message. And the quote reads, "Healing is on the other side of forgiveness. Unforgiveness could affect your physical, mental, and spiritual health. It can open doors to the demonic to wreak havoc on your life by pushing you into a dark place of isolation until you no longer feel the warmth and love of God. An unforgiving soul also blocks God's blessings. You cannot truly experience love until you forgive. You must be healed for love." So not wanting to talk about your issues and the things that have hurt you so badly in your past, it's going to affect you. And it might be affecting the other person, the person who has caused the offense, or they may have moved on and forgot about it and went on about their life. But you're still carrying a burden that Jesus wants to lift off of you. And you have to have the courage to talk about what you don't want to talk about, to discuss what's challenging and what's difficult. But in order to move forward, you have to be able to have those tough conversations, because it's going to affect your physical health. It's going to affect you mentally and spiritually, and it's going to affect you overall as a person and who and how loving and capable of being who you are in Christ. Those things, not wanting to talk about it, can do more than block your blessing. It can block you from being like Christ. So I pray, I sincerely do pray, that God will give you the boldness and the confidence to talk about what you don't want to talk about. Because when you do take that initiative and that step to have the difficult conversation, I want you to know that healing is on the other side of forgiveness. That you can be made well, that you can be made whole, that you can get up, pick up your mat, and go on about your life. And when it comes to, if you do have the chance to have that conversation, to talk about what you don't want to talk about, it's important to keep in mind that you may not, and I'm speaking from experience here, that you may not. The reality is, there are two realities that you will get the closure that you're looking for, that the person will take responsibility and hold themselves accountable, admit their faults and voice their faults, and acknowledge damage, whatever damage and hurt that they have caused you. The other reality is that they may not. Some people will forget the trauma that they've caused you because it makes them feel bad, for lack of better words. That they feel condemned and guilty of what they've done. So the best way that they can handle that is try to forget. And not forgive, but move on. And that's dangerous to the person who has caused the offense. But for you, it comes a point in your life that no matter what has happened to you, years have gone on and you've gotten older, you have experienced life, and you may have a career at this point. You may be in God's will, but you're still carrying something in it, and it's hurting you. It's holding you back from being the best version that Christ sees in you. And you may not get that, I apologize, or I'm sorry. There's another excerpt that I want to read from Hill for Love. And, you know, writing this part of this scene, you know, it brought back some memories, because a lot of things that I've written in this book, it comes from personal experiences. It comes from the wisdom of God. And this excerpt reads, David, you may not ever get the kind of answers or closure you feel you need to move on. You have to understand that some people, even family members, may never be close to us in the way we expect and want them to be. But we have to love them anyway, unconditionally. That's the way God wants us to love. Love is what God commands of us. Love, now listen to this part here. Love keeps us free from walking in what others are bound by. She's bound by hurt and bitterness, David. So some people hurt you, or those who have offended you, are more than likely walking in hurt and bitterness. You know, I always mention that when I hear people say, as they comment on or tag themselves as being a difficult person or a callous person to get along with, you know, people say, this is just the way I am. I'm sorry. I reject that lie from the pit of hell. It's unbiblical, and it's not in the Word of God. It's not who Jesus Christ is. No one is born with hurt and bitterness. You become hurt and bitter through life experiences. And as a result of that hurt and whatever pain that has, whatever person, the pain has caused you, you develop a certain defense mechanism that becomes a part of your personality and how you act and behave and how you communicate, how you love, and how you choose not to love. You don't come out of the womb with a hardened heart, with the callous heart, because you haven't experienced life yet. Yes, it's unfortunate that people experience hurt and they become the way that they are because of their experiences. And this is why it's important for Jesus Christ to be in your life, because he can take what you have been through and mold it into wisdom and push you forward in your destiny and your calling, so that you can do what he has authorized you to do in the kingdom of God. That he can take your hurt and turn it into a testimony, that you can be a blessing to thousands and millions of other people who may be going through the same things that you're going through. I mentioned the other day in a post that it is extremely difficult. It's impossible. It is truly impossible to spend time with Jesus and remain the same. It doesn't make sense to say, this is the way I am. I'm never going to change. And then profess Jesus as Lord and Savior in your life. Because if he's Lord in your life, then you have surrendered to his Lordship, where you have given him authority and access to every part of your life. He can't be Savior if you can't call upon his name to save you, to heal you from whatever hurt that you experience. Because Savior is an indication of being a healer, that Jesus can save you exactly where you are in life right now. If you're drowning in hurt, if you're drowning and falling in depression, if you're dealing with anxiety, panic attacks, or whatever it is that you're dealing with, Jesus can save you and deliver you from that. That's one of the reasons why he died on the cross. So I reject the notion that this is how I am. You're not going to find that in the Word of God. Because Jesus didn't die for you to remain the same. He died so that you may be resurrected in him, and that your life and mind will be transformed forever. So although you may not get the kind of closure that you need to move on, I mentioned earlier that healing is a choice. You're going to have to choose to move on without getting the closure that you think and you feel that you need in order to heal for yourself. This is a decision that you're going to have to make for yourself. And unforgiveness is linked to having a soul tie. You know, unforgiveness is a reason why people still have soul ties with their exes. It's because there is still hurt. The fact that you feel uncomfortable, the fact that you still have anger towards someone is a sign that you have a soul tie with them. And the soul tie is toxic. Soul ties aren't just limited to, you know, still longing and desire for someone. But a soul tie, an indication of a soul tie, is having, you know, very toxic or you know, anger issues with someone. And those feelings are still lingering on. And they're still prevalent in your life. And I want to read another excerpt from Heal from Love, my novel. And it reads, Jennifer fastened her seatbelt and shifted into drive. From her rearview mirror, she saw Robert standing with his head lowered, arms hanging loosely at his sides. She pressed her foot against the brake pedal, stopping the car before exiting the lot, and broke down. She needed this cry. It was the cutting of the soul tie. She released every part of him from her soul. Sometimes the conversation you needed to have with your ex wasn't about getting back with them, reflecting on good or bad times, what could have happened or should have happened, but communicating that it was okay, that things hadn't worked out, and that it was okay to let go and to move on. Closure come that way. It seals the past and cuts the soul tie. She felt a huge part of her soul, she felt a huge part of her heart had just broken off and drifted out to sea. But she knew this was the best decision she could make for herself and Robert. And what I was trying to illustrate there, and I don't want to give, you know, the story away of what happened, but you get the drift that Jennifer had needed to break the soul tie with her ex-fiance, Robert. That there was a conversation that needed to be had. And this conversation had nothing to do with getting back with him. But it was about saying to this man that it's okay that it didn't work out. Why? Because they weren't the ones for each other. You know, the Holy Spirit taught me something, and it was a correction several months ago. And this is, I want you to listen to this. I want you to listen closely. It's really convenient to nitpick at someone's personality and who they are, their shortcomings. It's easier to highlight those things, to verbalize them when a relationship doesn't work out. The more mature way of dealing with the breakup is by saying, it's okay that it didn't work out. Because all of those things that irritate you about someone, all of those things that you have complained about, it may not be a problem for the next person that comes into their life, or whoever God has for that individual. And there might be some very well things that you can validate, substantial things that you can say, well, yeah, these were X, Y, and Z, these were problems that this person had. However, God may not have given you the grace and the patience to be able to walk with that person through him, their dysfunction or whatever shortcomings that they've had. And the more mature way to handle a breakup is by, okay, you accept responsibility or be accountable for your wrongs and your faults in a relationship, as well as being aware of the other person's contributions to it. But what you want to do is say in your heart, you know, it's okay. We didn't work out. It's okay that, you know, it wasn't going to work out anyway. You know, we argue too much. We didn't see things eye to eye. We had, you know, so many conflicting differences that it ushered in the elephant in the room. And that elephant wasn't going to go anywhere. Well, that elephant wasn't going to go anywhere because it wasn't meant for you to be joined to that person to begin with. And I want you to know that when you do find someone, when you do find that person that God has for you, he that finds a wife, when your husband finds you, so you got to be healed to be found. And the God has to be healed to find. But when you do find that person that God has for you, and the love is real, authentic, and genuine, that person loves you so much, they're going to have the patience to walk you through whatever obstacles and difficulties that you experience. When the love is real and two people want to make it work, the relationship will last. But when you have someone, you're with someone, and the love is not strong and the love is not real and it's fickle and it's emotional and it sways back and forth like a pendulum, it's wishy-washy. You can't predict the forecast of how someone is going to feel this day or this week or this upcoming holiday that foundation of the relationship is not strong. And if you have unforgiveness in your heart, more than likely there's a soul tie. And part three, I'm gonna drop this quote in there. It's gonna be a segue into part three, because there's a part three. That when you choose to forgive, you know, the Father, your Father in heaven is gonna forgive you. And in his forgiveness comes healing. When you choose to make the choice, when you choose to take action to want to heal for yourself, Jesus is going to make you well. He's going to make you whole. And when you become this healed and well and whole person, you love better when you are healed. You are a great person to be around when you are healed. You make better choices and decisions, and you entertain or don't entertain certain people when you're healed. When you are healed, you're not seeking love out of loneliness, but you're seeking love out of a desire for God's promises. That if it's in His will for you to get married, that you long for love from that promise, not from your loneliness. Although we may experience feelings of loneliness, that loneliness cannot be permanent, nor can it be the driving and influence of who we choose to pursue. So I want you to know that you're going to love better when you're healed. And when you are healed, oh, it's going to be such a blessing. When you are healed, you're going to be able to recognize the hurt in others. And this is going to be so important in your courting experiences and how you wait on God for His timing. Jesus, thank you so much for this message. Thank you for speaking with such clarity and precision. I am extremely confident, Lord, that you have touched someone's heart today, that someone is bound to be set free by the things that they are bounded by. That strongholds are going to be broken in your name, Jesus. And that tears will be wiped and dried in your name, Jesus. That soul ties would be broken in your name, Jesus. That forgiveness is going to happen in your name, Jesus. That closure is going to be their portion in your name, Jesus. Lord, I love you and thank you so much, Lord. I pray that whoever's listening, God, that you will just bless their lives tremendously, that you will fill them with your spirit of joy, that you will give them your peace that surpasses all understanding. God, I love you. We love you. And it's in your name, Jesus, that I pray and I give thanks. Amen. If you have been touched by this message, I would encourage you to go ahead and share it with someone. If you want to pick up my novel, Heal for Love, it is available on Amazon and also on iBooks and have it in print in ebook format. This is a Christian-based love story. I've had so many people that have shared with me that they have never read a genre or a story like this that was Christian in both about love and romance. But God has given me a talent to write about love that He has placed upon my heart He's given me the wisdom to talk about it, because I know that it's for the better of the kingdom of God. And I want to throw out there that messages on relationships, like the relationship talk, is not a replacement for the gospel. And I always say that in order to have a godly relationship, you got to have a relationship with God. The two and two go hand in hand. And, you know, you don't want to put yourself in a position to be in a situation and trying to court in a godly way, you don't have a relationship with God. You know, you've heard the saying that your blessing can become a lesson if you haven't prepared for it. It's my heart desire that you prepare for it by cultivating your personal relationship with the Lord. That is the most important relationship in your life. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things will be added to you. That has a lot to do with keeping your relationship with God a priority in your life. Thank you so much for listening. If you want a copy of my book, I do sign copies by request. You can email me at IamMelvinDavis at Gmail. So it's IamMelvinDavis at Gmail. You want to follow me on Instagram, it's IAM_MelvinDavis. I'm also on Facebook as well. So those are the two platforms that I'm heavily active on. But feel free to drop me an email. Would be great if you keep it short. I like short messages. But let me know how this message has touched you. You're more than welcome to DM me as well. I try to respond to all of my messages. Thank you so much for being a blessing to my life. And part three is coming soon. Since I have the summer off, I have a lot more time to be more consistent with posting these episodes rather than waiting weeks out. So expect more consistency in this season. Thanks again, and God bless you.